Amen. You know, many of us have many different concepts of worship, and we all have different experiences and expressions of worship. And we want to discover this morning what worship's all about and just how you and I can really connect with God in a meaningful way. You know, worship is more than singing songs. It's more than clapping to a rhythm or tune. It's more than singing in pitch or attempting to at least. It's more than all of that. It's about just what you're going to discover in a while. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture from the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And this is a picture of worship in heaven. And I want you to close your eyes as I read this. And I want you to begin to paint a picture of the imagery of the words as I read from the Bible. Will you do that? I'd like every one of us just to close your eyes for a moment and just picture what I'm reading and begin to paint an image of what it probably looks like in heaven. It says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." I don't know what kind of a picture you had in your mind as I just read those passages of scripture, but I want us to understand that heaven is full of worship. If we were to enter Swarga right now, you would enter a scene like this of people worshiping God, Jesus on the throne, immense, immaculate light and amazing imagery and beautiful scenery and sounds that you probably have never heard before, and maybe people you've never seen before, and everyone is focused on honoring and giving glory to God. And it talks about the creatures and the elders, they're all worshiping, bowing before God and worshiping Him. And when God created you and me, He created us to worship Him. And thank God that we've got a few hours and few years on this earth to do the things that we like to do. But ultimately, God created us. The purpose He created you and me, wherever you've come from and wherever you are today, is so that you can have a life of worship with Him for eternity. I don't know if you ever wondered what you're going to be doing when you die and get to heaven and God lets you in. You're just simply going to be worshiping Him 24/7, 365. In fact, in eternity, time has no consequence at all. It just goes on and on and on. And so our time on earth here, it's a mere reflection of what we are doing in heaven. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, for us to kind of get a glimpse of that is so foreign because we're so used to a 24/7 lifestyle. Everybody say this. Worship originates from heaven. Everybody say that. Worship.
Worship.
What is, where does worship originate? Worship originates from heaven. Alfred, the Bible talks about all creation worshiping. I mean, what exactly does the Bible really mean when it's...
Just when you're reading the first passage prior to this, that in heaven, you know, all creation praises God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I just felt that, you know, it's not just holy, holy, holy is the Lord 24/7, but God is showing them, you know, who He is. Every second, God's showing something amazing to them, and they're just saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And for all eternity, God is going to show us something new, you know, what He is doing and what He is capable of, because our minds can just never conceive, and that's how we keep going. Because we'll be just in awe of Him. and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Wow. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Not just, you know, as this holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And that's, it just came to me from that first passage.
Wow. Yes.
But going on, just the first verse in the Bible, you know, and God created, you know, the heavens and the earth. And for me, I'm a sailor. Right? I've spent, you know, from 1981 till 2005, that's good 24, 25 years on the seas. And I have seen, okay, you know, the beauty and the glory of the heavens on a clear, absolutely clear night, 360 degrees around you. Mm-hmm. All the stars, all the planets, shooting stars, and we actually use the stars, you know, to calculate our positions of the ship. So. The Bible says that, you know, that, that it's actually an awesome that the heavens declare the glory of God, okay, and the firmament His handiwork. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when I look at the beauty of millions of planets and stars and the ever expanding universe, right? It's not just stagnant, right? You know, it continuously is still expanding as we speak. I mean. And that's time when I just stand on the bridge of the ship, which is like you can call it the, on the aircraft, you call it the flight deck. I just stand and say, oh God, you are awesome. And my heart just, you know, swells up in worship for Him. And at the same time, I've seen the waves, which are 30 meters high. And that time I see, oh Lord, you are still, you know, awesome. I was reading this article in Discovery magazine, which spoke about Sir Isaac Newton, and they said he is the greatest thinker who ever lived, a good Christian too. And people mocked him because he said that, you know, there's one God, right, who created, you know, the universe and all that. So what he did was one day he, this very interesting story, one day rented a big room like this, and he very intricately, you know, made you know, the sun and the planets and all that. He filled up this room, very, very elaborate work. Took him, you know, a couple of years to do it. And then he invited all these philosophers and these thinkers and, you know, come have a look. And they were so amazed. Oh, wow, Isaac, it must have taken you, like, you know, so long to do this. And I actually did, but he said, no, I mean, I just rented the room yesterday and I just came here and, oh, everything, you know. Because, you know, that's what the work that, I mean, we, you know, the science says, right, the Big Bang Theory and all, bang. Then, you know, and then the unassured, okay, of course, it takes, you know, if there is order, if there is design, there has to be a creator. And that's one of the reasons why I just stand, and all of us can stand. You just look, I mean, you know, our gravity is about 9.8 meters a second square, right? Okay. If it increases by just, you know, 0.1, we'll actually be, you know, crushed. And if it decreases by just 0.1, we'll take off into the atmosphere. I mean, that's how great, you know, our God is. You know, every planet, you know, like revolving in orbit, hanging, you know, I mean, without anyone holding it. Although a lot of mythologies say that the elephant is holding the earth, and, you know, Greeks say that Atlas is holding the earth, but we know that it's all suspended. And it's only God's great and awesome design, which, you know, can make this, and that's why I worship Him. But that's talking about creation. Very personally to me, God says, I formed you, I knitted you, and I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Yeah. And that's, you know, again, that's very personal to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I can fall down, you know, and I can worship. Yeah. I mean, the amazing thing as well that we know is that the created must always worship the
creator.
You know, and so when we look at creation, it's not just you and me as human beings that worship God, but the Bible is clear, all of creation, which means when an elephant trumpets, it's doing what it was created to do, worship God. When a lion roars, it is doing what it was created to do. It's act of worship. When the winds blow, they are doing what God created them to blow. There's a wonderful AV that you'll find online talks about they've recorded the sounds in a particular galaxy. And it talks about how these sounds, when they captured these sounds, were like as though the galaxies were singing to God. And the Bible talks about that, how the stars and the moons, they all worship Him.
And so worship is not just something that we do, but we need to understand that all of creation worships Him. And that's amazing, isn't it? It's not just us human beings, and that's how God loves worship so much. But I want us to understand that worship is not just something that we kind of just do, but it is our response to God out of recognizing and acknowledging who He is, because He's worthy to be praised. And John chapter 4 verse 24 says this: God is spirit. Everyone say, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Doesn't mean I have to become a spirit being. Well, the spirit aspect of your life is when you ask Jesus into your life, when you choose to follow Him. When we come before God and when we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we choose to follow Him, the Bible says something supernatural happens to us. We're born again. And that is the Spirit's work in our life. And so we are able to worship God because now we have a relationship with a God who we never had a relationship with. And without the Holy Spirit residing within us, as we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He draws us to God and He helps us to worship. But worshiping in truth, many people worship many things. Think, as youngsters we worshiped our rock stars. Mine was Grand Funk. You probably never heard of the band, but I loved them. Because there was one great drum roll that went from left to right, and it was awesome in my days. But I loved them. But I soon discovered that they were human beings. They were not worthy of the worship that God had kept exclusively for Himself. And when I came into a relationship with God, I realized only He was worthy of my worship. And so I needed to understand the truth. And so worshiping in truth is when we understand that all worship needs to be in response to truth, and that worship which is truth is contained in the worship, is a state of an attitude. It's our heart, it's our inclination, it's our God awareness of what the truth is, and therefore we worship the truth. Look around you, people worship many things. When you buy a new iPhone, you worship it. You look at it all day. You play on it all morning. When you get your new iPad, I mean, come on. You're flipping that thing all day. You forget about God for a couple of moments because you're just so amazed by all that the apple can do. But that's what God reserves exclusively for Himself, that awe and that majesty. And when we understand the truth of who God is, we're able to connect with Him in worship. You know, and the Bible talks about that worship is reserved exclusively for God. I kind of touched on that. What do you think that is, Kathleen, when God's talking about exclusivity in our worship to Him?
Yeah. I think, you know, like you were saying, we get so consumed with, you know, say a device, a new device that we have. I think in our, as soon as we get saved and we give our lives to Christ, it's important that we start growing in that relationship with God. And as we become more and more God conscious and live a life that's pleasing to Him, and I think that is what really worship would be. So, you know, so in our thought life, in the, you know, meditations of our heart, you know, becoming pleasing to God. So in everything we do, we live a life that, you know, we see what God would be pleased with, you know, with our actions, our words, and, you know, so I think worship is basically living a life that is pleasing to God.
Yeah. And I love this verse in John chapter 4 verse 8. It says, and Jesus answered him and said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, mm-hmm. and Him only shall you serve. There's only one God. There's only one God that we are called to worship. Yeah. And that's Jesus. And God calls us to worship Him. And that's what Jesus said about Himself, was what He said about the Father. He said there's only one God, you worship Him. And so that God reserved that exclusivity for Himself. He's jealous, isn't He? He won't share His glory. And so when we do share what's due to God with something else, what happens to Him? He misses out on something and He wants you to worship Him. So what does it mean to really worship God, Kathleen? What does it really mean to worship God?
So I think it's basically this, like I said, you know, we choose to live in a way that's pleasing. So there is a lot of sacrifice, I think, involved in that. Sacrifice of what is good. You know, like Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So at every point, we choose to do things which are right, choose to obey the commandments of God. And I think it's just a process because it's not something that we get saved and overnight we live a life that's pleasing to God. But it's something that we grow in. You know, we make the sacrifices and constantly make those right choices, and you know, slowly we grow in our worship. That way, and you know, please God with everything.
That's great. I mean, you're talking about a lifestyle of worship, yeah. Isn't it? So Gwen, do you want to talk a little bit about the lifestyle of worship? And you know, the Bible says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." That's amazing.
For me, I think lifestyle, when I look at people and you can tell their lifestyles, like suppose you think of Salman Khan, his whole thing about being human and projects that. And for me, it's the garment given to me by God is the garment of thanksgiving. And so many times that I've been in very, very bad situations and completely crushed, and I know He's given me this garment of praise. And I thank Him and praise Him, and I know that it's only for this time. And He's going to take me to another place. So my lifestyle is declaring that God, You are God. I declare Your splendor, and it's just a daily thing that I do.
So you're talking about being in a difficult place and still finding somewhere deep within you the ability to say, God, You're good,
yes.
Even though everything around you is not good.
And even some Sundays I don't want to come to church because
no, you serious?
Yeah, because I had a bad week, and like Saturday night is like, you know, that's it.
Nobody else had that feeling, right?
Maybe Sunday, if I sleep it through, the whole week will be fine. And you know, and then I'm like, Ian, can I just like take some time off? And he's like, do what is right and what God tells you to do. And that's when I say, no, God, You've given me a garment of praise, and I will praise You no matter what. You've done tremendous good things for me, and I'm going to choose to remember the good things.
Yeah, and I love what Psalm 71 says: my mouth is filled with Your praise and with Your glory all day, all day. When the going's good, when the going's bad. I don't know. What else do you want to talk about a lifestyle of worship?
Yeah. When Gwen was speaking about, you know, her experience, I was just thinking, I still, for me, worship is like a huge, it's been like a weapon in my life. Because the Bible says that, you know, it silences the enemy.
Wow.
When we praise Him. So, you know, when those difficult situations really come, and I think we all go through those difficult situations, but I've experienced that personal victory just by choosing to worship Him. I just want to give you all an example. It's like, I remember one day when Natanya, my daughter, was really tiny, and for no reason, out of the blues, I suddenly got this catch on my back. And I just could not even move my toes. I was just stuck in that position, and I was just thinking, I'm at home alone with a little baby. I can't even turn around to pick her up. And in that helpless situation, the first thing that came to me was, I just worship God. So I was standing there, dressing table, just holding onto the mirror, couldn't move. And I just started saying, You deserve the glory. And I was glad I could at least sing. I couldn't do anything else. But, you know, it was hardly 5-10 minutes of me just singing those two simple songs. I just closed my eyes and sang. And, you know, it just released my back. And that evening, I didn't think, you know, I didn't think something seriously has gone wrong, but that evening I could drive and go to a doctor, and he said, nothing, just rub something and you'll be fine. So, but that was just one incident. But, you know, there are other times when I know I've, you know, gone through such difficult situations, like, you know, and like Gwen said, I remember I would have to go to church, leave the church and worship. And it would be easy to just call and tell the pastor that, you know, I can't do it today. Like, I'm not in the right frame of mind. But, you know, I realized pastor would understand. He would say, fine. But I wanted the victory. So I said, God, I'm just going, and I'm still going to leave the church in worship. And, you know, I've experienced victory by just doing that, just making a choice of just going there and singing to God. Because it's not a question of me pleasing the pastor or the congregation, but it's a question of me going there into God's presence along with the people of God and worshiping. And it's just like stories after stories of, you know, the amount of victory that I've found in my life because of choosing to just worship God. So worship is really huge for me. And the song we sang today, Our God is Great, Our God is Stronger, it was a new song that came out, I think, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And you know, it was such a difficult time in my life. And I decided that today I'm going to learn the song. It's a new song. And till today, when I sing that song, I still remember that moment, and I know the victory I found when I started singing, "Our God is greater, He's higher than any other." It's difficult for us to say that God is greater than any other, and God is greater when you're in such a, you know, difficult situation, and you, in your mind and everything, you know, you just don't feel it. But choosing to sing that my God is greater and He is higher than any other, yes, like, you know, so, yes, yes.
But it's more than just worship, isn't it? We've got to live a worshipful lifestyle. And Alfred, do you want to talk about the heart of worship? I mean, we've all been talking about that and how it connects with each of us in a personal way and through music. But worship goes beyond the music as well, isn't it? It's the everyday nitty-gritty, which then comes together when we do come together congregationally and worship. We're going to talk about that in a minute as well.
Back up at Kathleen, and when at least that was very true, because Bible says the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. So I mean, it's only when you really lift up your hands and worship Him. Actually, in the Hebrew language, this word, you know, praise the Lord, which we all say, you know, it's actually an imperative. It's like a command. Yeah, and the Bible says, like, see, it's very interesting. Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So who's exuding in that? And those people that don't have breath. Exactly. You know, it's only those who don't have breath. I mean, it's only if you're dead, you exude it. So it's amazing. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. I mean, so and a command, like, it's imperative. I have to praise Him, right? So when I'm, you know, driving to work, when you're at work, you know, when you're at home, you know, just by yourself, when you're out for a walk. I'm sure a lot of us, when you're out for a walk itself, you can have a heart of worship. Just and a heart of worship can come with a heart of thanksgiving. You know, when you start to be thankful for the things that we have, automatically you start to have a heart.
So you're talking about an attitude then, isn't it? Having a thought process and an attitude that is thankful, right? That is focused on God. And in everything we do, it's maintaining that attitude. And that's an act of worship. So, at work, when things are not as they should be, and you are thankful, that's you worshipping God. When you kick the bucket and, you know, you get upset with everybody else and everything else, that's when you're not worshipping God. Alright? And so, it's for us to understand how in every circumstance and situation, God wants us to worship Him. You getting that? Yeah, it's not simply putting on music and singing to a track or whatever, but it's about that connectivity that you have every moment of the day. Rob talks about when you sleep, when you're awake, at every point, we do that. Now, I want to move a little bit from that and begin to talk about why do we worship God like we do. I'm coming now to the nitty-gritty of the expression of worship that you see on TV, you see here in churches across the world and here. You know, so why do we worship God the way we do? Firstly, because it's biblical. Alright, the Bible gives us a picture. It talks about using instruments, making music. It talks about fanfare. It talks about extreme elaborate decorations. It talks about drama and theater. When they worshipped in the Old Testament, it wasn't a couple of bands like this. It was a grand as you could think of. Yeah, there was smells, there was incense. Will you talk about the incense that was burning in the temple? Yeah, there were smells there, there were sounds, there were sights. Every sense of the human being connected in that act of worship. God uses everything that He's created to worship Him. And some people, so people use incense. If, as long as you're not worshiping the incense, but a great smell is good. And there were certain smells that they used in the temple. There were recipes for that incense. That was part of the worship to God, because it was expensive stuff that they used. There was a gold that was used. There's so many things that were used in the expression. The flickering lights, the candles that were burned. You don't worship the candle. But all these things created imagery. Each of them connected with an aspect and the nature of God, that help people to focus in on God. All these things are there to help us to connect with God. And also, more importantly, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, it says, "And be thankful." It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so, which is why we sing songs that have been written. Songs have been written from God's word, isn't it? We sing those. What other kind of things are included in this when the scripture is talking about?
Yes, another very interesting aspect is in worship is we hear, we read a lot in the Bible as, you know, praising God by lifting up hands. So, and you know, it's an amazing way to worship here by lifting up your hands. What does it signify, you know, lifting up hands?
Surrender.
Yeah, sure. What is surrender? How about
victory?
Don't you love your children when they reach out to you, you know, and then you just grab them. And remember that we are children of the Father, yeah? And when we just reach out to Him, you know, in an act, He just wants to embrace us. So it's a great way of worship, and I find that very, very fulfilling.
So again, this is talking about using our entire body, yeah, in worship. And I want to encourage you guys, you know, perhaps be at 11, because we start worship on the dot at 11. I think there's one Sunday we started late. We work to the clock, we start out at 11, and it helps you to connect with God. It does something to you that many other things can't do. You know, I encourage you to prioritize that and say, God, I want to be there. I don't want to miss that starting point of connecting with God through music. It's amazing. But also, the Bible talks about falling down as well. I mean, in today's modern churches, we tend not to get our knees messed up or our trousers unclean. But, you know, when it talked about worship, the Greek word used in the New Testament was proskuneo, which meant to prostrate oneself. When was the last time you saw any of us prostrate? I'm not saying you do it just because you want to do it. But in your personal times with God, there are times to do those kind of things. Sometimes there may be moments where it's right for us all to do that here. I don't know, we do it. But no one's going to be forced to something they don't want to do. But in your personal walk with God, and I don't do it when you're trying to fall asleep, but I'm talking about an attitude of worship, of laying before God and saying, God, you know, I surrender my life. All of these things that we do are acts of worship. There'll be times where, you know, things have been really crazy and I've just gone before God and just laid flat and said, God, you know what? I give up. I'm just going to give my whole being to you right now. You come through for me. And supernaturally, as you do that, God does something amazing. And so we want to understand that worship involves our minds, our emotions, and our muscles. And guys, I know we find it hard sometimes, you know, to clap or to wiggle. But listen, do whatever works for you. Whatever works for you, however you feel comfortable connecting with God, is how you need to do that. Now, I just want to touch a little bit on how can you develop a personal life of worship when nobody's watching, you're all alone at home. What are the things that you all do to connect with God personally? Go ahead.
I think for me, it's like singing a new song. It's not so much like what I've learned, because I kind of have a difficulty in remembering words. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just singing a new song. It could be just one line or two lines. And that could be my devotion to God throughout the day.
So what singing a new song?
I just make up a song. Have to be on a particular key. It doesn't have to have a particular rhythm.
Alright, so it might have a particular theme. It might have a particular theme? Something like that.
Yeah, could be. I'm praising the
I like to start also singing a song, usually anything that, you know, has been on my mind, sing a song. And then what really helps me to worship is also constantly just reading the promises of God, reading who God is, because I think if we don't know God, it's difficult to worship Him. So reading His word, and just meditating what I've read, then sing unto God, and just starting with that itself helps me to connect. And And the other thing which also comes to my mind is, you know, testing God by, you know, when difficult times come, like you put your trust in God and you just believe, and when you see God help you in that situation, it just becomes easier the next time to sing that song, but now you're singing it with greater meaning because now you know that God is great or God is good or God is stronger, and, you know, so getting to know God, I think, is very important. So reading the Word.
So you're reading God's Word, yeah. And says, "The Lord is my refuge,
yeah,
my strength,
yeah,
in times of trouble."
Yeah.
So
there are situations in which I need God's strength or I need the refuge of God. So you know, at that moment, I just bring it to God and I say, "God, in this situation, I know You are my refuge. God, I know You are my strength in this which I cannot do." So then, you know, automatically just God is there when we sing songs to Him or when we call to Him. So God comes and just gives you that peace and that strength, and we see God come through in that situation. So the next time it's like, you know, you just know God is my refuge and God is my strength. So initially it was by faith, but now it is, yeah, I know God is my strength.
God is my strength and my refuge. In times of trouble, He'll never fail. God is my strength and my refuge. Forever I will proclaim. It's so simple, just connecting with God's Word and just singing it. I mean, we just make it up as you go along, but that's beautiful. And you get that song in your heart, it stays with you, and you think you're Michael Jackson singing away with God, you know, or whatever. What's that other famous one? Whitney Houston or whatever you may be, or just worshiping God with everything you've got. God loves that, and you'd love it too. Alfred, how do you do it? Do you do a baritone?
See, for me, I don't have a good voice, but I know that, so what I do is make a joyful noise. So early morning, see, you have to be very disciplined, which is something. And whatever you do in life, you have to be disciplined, right? So, I make use of, I don't read, but I listen. So in the morning at 6 o'clock, the headphones are on, and I make sure, like, it's automatic, right? You get two verses from the New Testament, two from the Old Testament, get a psalm and a proverb. And so, and then, then it's easier. And also, I believe when I hear it, it sinks, you know, it kind of embeds on my heart. And I use whatever scripture comes through for that day. And it's, that's how I think, because I can spend almost 30 minutes just listening. But for me, it's a little bit challenging to read in the morning at 6 o'clock, so it's easier to hear.
I think there may be others also, right? Like him who cannot just sing a new song, yeah. Or you just don't get a tune.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, those times, just, because sometimes you get so used to saying you deserve the glory, it's such a common song. So it may not be meaningful to me to sing it, but I might just say you deserve the glory, you deserve the honor. Just saying that is also like.
So you take God's word. Yeah.
And
you use God's word. That's really key for us to understand that.
Yeah. Once you hear God's word, it's also going to play a lot of worship music. You see, I mean, our vehicles, we spend a lot of time in our vehicles for your walks. You know, let it just engulf you. Let God's word continuously engulf you. So you're always in an atmosphere of worship. That's great. Yeah, I hope you learned something today.
I would say that to worship is a very, very deep kind of understanding with God. So that's why I think when we come to church first time, or we just start coming, we start singing songs. So that makes it very easy for us to sing. And you know, that is when we start really knowing God. And start, like she said, okay, I started with faith, but then I knew God. That is the time where you really can start worshipping. Because once you know God, and to know God, you have to walk in faith. You have to read the word. See, I worked in poor people. They can't read or write or anything. So they remember all the songs. So the one Pochavi Maati hai, so she's singing a song. Tu Mera Raja, Tu Mera Raja. You know, they're just enjoying that. because they cannot read and write. But God bless us that He has given us education and things, we can read and write. So why not read the Word of God and really worship Him and know Him through that, you know? Then once we know Him, worship will, like you said, like we just sing and we just honor God with that. Because we want to, not because we have to, but then we want to. So praise God.
You know, in closing, thank you so much for sharing that, Daisy. What you do in the week is your expression of worship to God. Somehow Christianity has packaged it into a little service on a Sunday morning. And sometimes then God's got His ears and His fingers. Oh, you guys are getting this terrible. You haven't obeyed me all week. You haven't loved me all week. You're like clanging cymbals of answers. But when our lives are surrendered to God, and that sacrifice is made through the week, and when we come together in obedience to worship Him, that's the worship that pleases Him. And so worship that pleases God is when our lives are surrendered in our weakness and in our struggles and in our trials, but our attitude is that we are leaning towards God. Like David, he sinned, he messed up, he did all the things he should not have done, but God said, in Him I found a man after my own heart. That's what God's looking for. You and me, as we live our lives, make sure that your heart is after God above all else. And through the strengths and through the weak times, lean towards Him. And you'll experience the supernatural working of God in your life. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You this morning for what You help us each to share and talk from our own lives of worship and what it means to worship You. Lord, I pray as we share communion this morning that each of us would connect in a meaningful way and completely understand something fresh and anew today, a revelation of You as we share in communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.